Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is it getting warm in here? Or is it just collectivism? See what I... This is Wretched Radio. Apparently, New York City doesn't have much of a memory. The new mayor of New York is an odd combination. Not sure that they really fit together, but that doesn't always matter when the worldview is darkness. That is why you see such odd pairings. Why are those they're supporting? They're at a rally with what? As long as it is against Jesus Christ, as long as it is darkness that is opposed to the light, you will see the oddest pairings, not the least of which would be the Islamic socialist mayor. There's a combo that I never thought you'd hear of a New York City who, by the way, has a, what's this woman's title?
The tenant director for
the
mayor.
Tenant director. Yeah. Uh-huh. So she makes sure that the prices are set right. So she's basically like the Godfather in Godfather Part 2. Setting the prices for rent for, in fact, it's a lot like that if you don't mind me saying so. The mayor, of course, he wants warm collectivism. We stop with everybody trying to advance themselves and we all share the goods. And if you're saying, I think that's a simplification, I would suggest to you, then you need to hear what is this woman?
She is the tenant director.
The tenant director.
I think the reality is that for centuries, we've really treated property as an individualized good and not a collective good.
It had been more than centuries, madam. It's actually been millennia. Why? Because the Bible, it contains a commandment about not coveting your neighbor's stuff. That's the principle that an individual can own stuff and not have it nabbed from them. So this idea of property being an individual sort of endeavor, it's not centuries old or history is short-sighted. It's millennium old.
And we are going to transitioning to treating it as a collective good and towards a model of shared equity.
Shared. It ain't sharing when somebody takes it from you.
Will require that we think about it differently. Uh-huh. And it will mean that families, especially white families, but some people...
I'm sorry, what? Okay.
Yep. See families who are homeowners as well are going to have a different relationship to property than the one that we currently have.
Yeah, because you're not going to own it anymore. Although, okay, maybe this is my weird sort of view on property ownership. It seems to me as long as we have ongoing continued tax payments that are due to the government on the property that we own, we're just leasing it from the government. Color me crazy, but it seems to me if the government can take it away for not making payments that they demand, I don't think that I actually own it. If that isn't bad enough for you, the new warmth of collectivism of New York, it is coming your way as the cold wind of socialism. That's what they used to say. It was the cold wind of socialism. I think that's Churchill. That describes socialism that way because Europe, especially Great Britain, they've been leading the way. They've been ahead of America. Well, in this anyway, in socialism, they embraced it decades ago. America now just starting to warm up to that chilly idea, being led by the mayor of New York, who was sworn in on the Quran. Everybody said that this was a very symbolic gesture. that we don't swear in on the Bible. We're willing to swear in on a competing religion that isn't compatible with America. But ignore all of that because it makes us look tolerant and accepting. And we're so progressive, aren't we? We're just very multi-culti. So in that spirit, I would like to share with you today some of my favorite Quranic verses. Surah, chapter 2. And kill them wherever you overtake them, and expel them from wherever they've expelled you, and fight them until there is no fitna, in other words, resistance, and religion is for Allah. Surah 2, 193. Fight them until there's no more fitna. 489. They wish you would disbelieve as they disbelieve, so you would be alike. So do not take from among them allies until they emigrate for the cause of Allah. But if they turn away, seize them and kill them wherever you find them. See how progressive we are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Accepting and tolerant. See what we got? Hey, come on. You got on the irony scale. I think there was a guy in the Babylon Bee. In fact, I maybe have that. In the Babylon Bee, who is, I always love good sarcasm. He said, per the Quran, men have up to 4 wives and they have complete authority over them, but women may only have 1 husband. Women are not allowed to refuse intimacy with their husbands. And by the way, the Quran actually instructs the husbands how to spank their wives for disobedience. Congratulations, progressives. That's your guy. The Quran permits men to marry prepubescent girls. That ain't funny. And then consummate the marriage once the man decides the girl is able to tolerate it. The Quran also establishes a legal inequality between men and women. Women are not treated as equals. Lesser than. That's your progressive mayor of New York who swore in on the book that promotes pretty much everything you should be standing against. The Quran allows for the death penalty for homosexuals, calls for violence against non-believers. The Quran is not a book that we should be celebrating. The Quran is a book that we should be saying to the Muslims, what are you doing with this? Huh? You got to explain these surahs. You can't tell us that you're a religion of peace when you can read surah after surah that talks about the execution of the infidel. For instance, Todd, don't play that music again. Is that music? Is that what that is? Surah 812. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. So strike them upon the necks and strike them from every fingertip. I'm feeling warm. Surah 9:5, the sword verse. And when the sacred months have passed, kill the polytheists wherever you find them and capture them and besiege them and sit in wait for them at every place of ambush. But if they repent, establish prayer, let them go on their way. That's how Islam has historically expanded, by the sword. Fight those who do not believe in Allah among the people of the scripture until they give the jizya willingly while they are humbled. A jizya is for submission. Surah 47:4. That was a good note. Well, now one for a bit. 47:4. So when you meet those who disbelieve in battle, strike their necks until you have inflicted slaughter upon them, then secure their bonds. 33:61. Accursed wherever they are found, seized and killed with a massacre. 66:9. O prophet, fight against the disbelievers and the hypocrites and be harsh upon them. It seems to me that rather than celebrating without any sort of understanding of the contents, that a book called The Quran was used to swear in the mayor of New York City, shouldn't progressives be saying, you've got to explain yourself? You can't, I'm sorry, those verses, why don't we see people, these people that are so anti-Jesus, which is everyone who's not a believer, they'll go after the Bible. Why aren't they going after the Quran? They should, because it is antithetical to their progressive values, and yet they're willing to overlook it. Why? Because darkness partners with darkness. My enemy's enemy is my friend, because you need an ally in overcoming the light. Well, there's good news. Nothing is going to overcome the light. But I think that we should be shining the light into the darkness of the Quran and asking the mayor, wouldn't that be great to see? Yeah, mayor, here's some surahs for you. What do you want to explain these to us? Because if not, you're just not compatible with the way that America believes or behaves. And then, of course, that reporter can expect to be called racist. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Kratz breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting. Just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood. Real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living.
Names of God. Is Jesus God? One name given to God in Scripture is El Gibor, the Mighty God. One occurrence of this name stands out. In Isaiah chapter 9, El Gibor is the name given to the promised Messiah. Jesus is that promised Messiah. He is God incarnate.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, you learn something new every day, don't you? This is Wretched Radio. Not entirely certain about this, but I don't have to be if I'm a talk show host. I am not an Islamic worship leader, but I have a feeling that Islam, at least in this regard, is sort of like modern-day evangelicalism. They've got different worship styles. Jimmy, I'm at the YouTube machine, and this is a beautiful Islamic call to prayer seen 9.5 million times.
Beautiful.
Do you hear the instruments?
I do.
Well, you don't. There's nothing there. Nothing. You're hearing an echo sound effect.
That's what I'm hearing.
But no.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Nothing. Yeah.
And I don't know that he's repeating himself 85 times. So I'm intuiting that this is like old school Islamic call to prayer, because when I was looking for the sound effect, I found the, I can't pronounce it, but I think it's the exact same call to prayer, but it sounds a little different, doesn't it? So this is the contemporary version.
Okay.
So I'm guessing at Islamic centers, they do the early service with the old school stuff, and then later they do the second service with the cool stuff for the kids. See? You learn something new every day, don't you? Oh, Jimmy, this would be something that you could remind me. I learned this a long time ago, but maybe you could remind me. I believe it goes back to September 11th, give or take, 2001. There were some airplanes that were flown into two buildings. Do you recall what those buildings were called?
Oh, the World Trade Center? Is that not right?
Wow, you almost panicked there, didn't you? Yeah. How soon they forget the World Trade Center. And Jimmy, is that piece of property wide open right now? There's nothing on where the World Trade Center used to be?
No, there's another building there, isn't it?
So you mean they had to replace the buildings that were flown into by Islamic terrorists?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Well, that can't be, because I'm reading this story from Daily Mail that the New York governor orders the Twin Towers replacement to be lit green to commemorate Muslim American Heritage Month.
Oh.
That's just galling, isn't it? Mm. Stating, quote, "The resilience, compassion, and contributions of Muslim communities help make our state stronger. And so we thought, in the spirit of celebrating Muslim American Heritage Month, we'd take a look at some of those contributions throughout the history of America. Let me take you back centuries," because that's right. America does have a history with Muslims, starting with the Barbary Pirates. Do you remember that in history class? It depends on your age, because I suspect they don't teach about the Barbary Pirates. There were two wars. America fought two wars against the Barbary Pirates. They were taking ships, European and American ships. These are North African Islamic pirates, the Barbary Pirates, and they were taking stuff. They were enslaving captured sailors, and they were forcing America to pay, well, if you will, jizya, a tax. If you want to be safe in the waters, you've got to pay us off. The Barbary Pirates were demanding annual tribute in order to keep U.S. ships safe. Thomas Jefferson, he paid them, but he did refuse the increased tribute demands. And that led to 1801 to 1805, the first Barbary War. The U.S. Navy conducted blockades, coastal attacks. The USS Philadelphia, it was seized and burned. And so it ended with a treaty reducing tribute demands, but not eliminating them. Cut to 1815. Algiers resumes attacks on U.S. shipping. And James Madison, he authorized naval action. And they went to... It was as if the Barbary Pirates were Venezuela. They went for it on this one, and they put an end to it, and then that ended the tributes permanently. Nevertheless, the Barbary Pirates, some of the history of Islam in America, along with a building lit green to commemorate their contributions. Don't know if you saw in Times Square, there was a billboard. It was an electronic billboard. Greta Thunberg loved it. Jesus was a Palestinian. Oh, really? What is that all about? Well, providentially, I opened up the mail to discover my Christian Worldview journal sent to me courtesy of David Wheaton. If you don't listen to his program, you should. He's very thoughtful. He's very thorough. The Christian Worldview, look on your radio stations or you can go find his podcast. He sends out, I think it's maybe quarterly, maybe it's even more than that, the Christian Worldview Journal. Lo and behold, on page 8, how providential is this? Was Jesus Palestinian? Soren Cairn was educated at Hebrew. I hope I said that right, sir. Was educated at Hebrew University in Jerusalem and Georgetown University. And he answers the question, was Jesus indeed a Palestinian? No. That's kind of the short answer right there. Absolutely not. Why? Because Palestine historically was not recognized as a state. It had no formal government, no currency, no legislation. Yes, it is a name that was used historically, but it goes back after Abraham was deeded the land. So depending on when you want to date Abraham, you can say 1900, he was in Israel, give or take. Well, it wasn't until 1175 when the Philistines arrived in the land. They occupied 5 cities, and this was Philistine, which kind of morphed into Palestine. But that was 1175 BC. I'm not good at math, but I think that was about 700 years after Abraham. And to make the claim, therefore, that Jesus was a Palestinian because the Philistines lived in a part of the land, and some people, our first record of the use of the word Palestine isn't until 440 BC. I think Herodotus, a historian, identified this region, not the nation, but this general region. And it's used historically to describe different parts of the land, regions, but never identifying it as a state. So what is going on here? What's with the effort to try to rename Israel Palestine and then claim that Jesus was born in Palestine because it so happens to be that his hometown was in that modern-day region that they like to call Palestine? This is from the Christian Worldview. Palestinian efforts to hijack the identity of Jesus began in the early 1980s when Yasser Arafat, the PLO, if you recall, presented Jesus as the first Palestinian revolutionary. Well, that's interesting, except for the fact that he was born in Judea. That's the official name. He was raised a Jew. He lived as a Jew, and he died king of the Jews, not Palestinians. And to call him, by the way, a revolutionary, oh, sure, you could use the semantic range and say his thoughts were revolutionary, but that's not what he had in mind here. Jesus wasn't a terrorist. He wasn't a zealot. He had a zealot in his disciple crew, but that Simon didn't act on it once he became a follower of Jesus Christ. It was Yasser Arafat who first said he was the first Palestinian revolutionary who fought Roman oppression, just as the Palestinians today are fighting against Israel. You know, without all the kidnappings and terror stuff. Speaking at the United Nations in 1983, Arafat called Jesus the first Palestinian Fadain, which is a guerrilla fighting Israel, who carried his sword, except the only instances we have of Jesus and a sword is his instruction to the disciples in Matthew 10. Hey, you're going to go out. It's going to be dangerous. You're going to want to have some self-defense. When Peter used a sword to keep his Messiah, his rabbi, from being arrested, and he cut off the ear of Malchus, Jesus said, then put it down. He wasn't a revolutionary who carried the sword. It's a Palestinian effort to de-Judaize Jesus and superimpose a Palestinian identity on him. 3 political objectives, again, from the Christian Worldview. It tricks people into believing that the history of the Palestinian people goes back thousands of years, and they, not the Jewish people, are the indigenous people of the region. They're not. And that is just a fact. 2, it portrays modern Jews as having no legitimate rights to the land of Israel. And 3, It delegitimizes Israel by falsely portraying modern Jews as murdering Palestinians in the same way that ancient Jews supposedly crucified Jesus. This is an effort to get the land back, but there's no historical precedent to substantiate that claim. But I happen to have a substantiated claim. It's in writing. It's been translated from Hebrew, but there it is. It's a covenant with a fellow named Abraham that he would have a land, a nation, and a seed. Who are the indigenous people that still exist today? It's not the Philistine. It's not the Gergesites, the Hittites, the Amorites. It's the Jews. And the land known as Israel belongs to them. Always will. Why? Because God deeded it to them. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.